On February 7, 2024, National Polygamy Advocate Mark Henkel shares SCOTUS decision, Reynolds v. United States of 1878, Part 2. Hello, friends, supporters, listeners, and sharers. In the previous episode of this podcast, episode number 307 of January 31, 2024, I opened with part one of this multi-part mini-series about the U.S. Supreme Court decision, Reynolds v. United States of 1878. I also explained that the acronym SCOTUS, S-C-O-T-U-S, SCOTUS, is short for Supreme Court of the United States, SCOTUS. That part one episode introduced the six questions that the 1878 Supreme Court determined to answer in that case. In this episode here, episode number 308 of February 7, 2024, i.e. in this part two episode, I will address the first question of those six questions. As per the text of the decision of Reynolds v. United States, Chief Justice Waite wrote, quote, 1. Was the indictment bad because found by a grand jury of less than 16 persons? Unquote. That might seem like a silly question, but it was a very serious issue. Reynolds had been found guilty in the district court for the 3rd Judicial District of the Territory of Utah for violating the federal statute, the Morrill Anti-Bigamy Act of 1862, the law which I have labeled as Step 2 of the government subterfuge of the anti-polygamy laws. The Supreme Court's decision in this case in 1878 is the next step, Step 3. In the lower court, Reynolds had, quote, pleaded in abatement that the indictment was not found by a legal grand jury, unquote. In his appeal up to the Supreme Court, Reynolds' attorneys noted that federal law requires a grand jury of 16 jurors, but he had been indicted by a grand jury of only 15. That lower court overruled that pleading, saying that the Utah Territory's legislature had passed a law years earlier, on February 18, 1870, that declared that a court only had to impanel 15 men to serve as a grand jury. Hence, the lower court appeared to have allowed the territory law to stand with overarching authority above and over the federal law. Addressing this as the first of the six questions before the Supreme Court in this case, Chief Justice Waite detailed the following clever nuance. First, in reference to the U.S. federal law that called for 16 jurors, Waite wrote, quote, by section 1910 of the revised statutes, the district courts of the territory have the same jurisdiction in all cases arising under the Constitution and laws of the United States as is vested in the circuit and district courts of the United States. But this does not make them circuit and district courts of the United States. We have often so decided, unquote. Simply put, while the territory courts do have the identical jurisdiction and authority as those of the federal courts, i.e., the U.S. federal circuit and district courts, Chief Justice Waite declared that the territory courts may not be viewed as actually being, or being the equivalent to, U.S. federal circuit and district courts. They could look and act just like them, but they could not be them. Second, in reference to the Utah Territory Law that called for 15 jurors, Waite wrote, quote, Section 808 was not designed to regulate the impaneling of grand juries in all courts where offenders against the laws of the United States could be tried, but only in the circuit and district courts. This leaves the territorial courts free to act in obedience to the requirements of the territorial laws. Unquote. Therewith, Chief Justice Waite circled back by claiming that the cited territory law, which limited grand juries to 15 jurors, only applied to territory circuit and district courts, but not to federal circuit and district courts, even though they had the identical powers to try the same cases. This argument by Chief Justice Waite of the 1878 U.S. Supreme Court was a clever game of nuancing words and meanings. As we will observe going forward, once having begun this game at the start with this first question, question one, Chief Justice Waite continued that game even further as he answered the remaining ones of the six questions. I will share the 1878 Supreme Court's answer to the next question, the second question, question number two, in a coming podcast episode identified as SCOTUS Decision, Reynolds v. United States of 1878, Part 3. Stay tuned! In the meantime, as always, thank you for celebrating, supporting, listening to, and sharing the National Polygamy Advocate Podcast.
Mark Henkel is National Polygamy Advocate, presented polygamy to the public since 1994. NationalPolygamyAdvocate.com